Perhaps you could first describe the situation that your government has inherited in terms of the Kennecook ponds.
Situation, I mean, the backstory on it is that there was a pilot project approval given for some fracking activity several years ago. I think it was, what, 6, 7 years ago now, in that region. And the wastewater from that process was taken and stored in ponds. The plan at that time was to send it up to a treatment facility in the Debert area. So the water would land in ponds there, holding ponds until it would be treated. What happened through that process is I think there were kind of two false starts with it, where they were processing the water, and at one point discovered that there were some norms present in the water, which put an end to the processing, as I understand it, at that time, until they implemented a treatment to filter those aspects of the water. And then they attempted to look at disposal when they realized there was high concentrations of chloride, or, frequently it's referenced as salt. The scientists will clarify that very quickly. It's chlorides, but for the layman, essentially salt concentrations as opposed to pure fresh water, and that causes some problems, particularly with waste treatment water, wastewater treatment that the municipalities would have, because those systems are designed more for fresh water. So the high chloride concentrations were causing some challenges with those systems. So that's kind of the backstory on where we're at today. So since that point in time, again, the processing was stopped until we could find some treatment, to address that those other chemicals in the water, and those high levels of chloride and other elements. And that's where we kind of came in, is picking it up from there. So there is no disposal authorized at this point. It's just taking a step-by-step additional treatment, review the test results. That's what happened, what, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now. And we just brought those results back to the community, and working from there.
Now, those results, are you satisfied that there are no longer any naturally occurring radioactive materials, first of all, and then second of all, people are rightfully worried about the as yet unknown chemical content that goes into the water before it goes down a hydraulic test well.
Yeah, so I guess the language, or I guess the common language that seems to be being used to describe those chemicals, they're classifying them as proprietary chemicals, so the chemicals that the proponent introduced into the system. I guess to answer the first question on the norms, yes, the test results that came back did indicate that, with respect to the norms, that the water is within the Health Canada guidelines, and the national guidelines for the norm concentration. So, based upon the test results, those are within the standards. So it is still a question around those proprietary chemicals, and the test results there were certainly positive in terms of, they were all below the levels indicated in the testing. But depending on what proposals now come forward for looking at disposing of the water, will indicate, whether we want to pursue additional testing, or what additional testing might be necessary. For example, possibly moving towards some toxicology testing on the on the water, to just further build confidence in the fact that in the levels that were there, that they are certainly not issues to the life forms.
Is there any notion that you might not know exactly what you're testing for when you're dealing with proprietary chemicals? Like, this is a patented mix, essentially. Is it like finding a needle in a haystack? Do you even know what you're looking for when you test?
I don't think so. I mean, I recognize that is a concern that has developed, particularly in the public. And I think part of that stems from, I think, what I described as those false starts, where they were processing the water and then they discovered the norms because they hadn't tested for the norms in the first place. Then they started looking to process the water and they discovered that the high chloride levels. And I think that contributes to, do you know what you're testing for when you're not, how do you know what to test for if you haven't tested for things? And then in the proprietary context, I think it becomes a little more challenging as well, because I think people in the public have asked for that information previously, and it hadn't been disclosed. And that was the environment that we came into. And that's one of the reasons why, for me, I took steps early on to say, when we do these tests, we want to work with the proponents to make sure that we do disclose that information. And so that's what we were able to do this time was, we're given the information in terms of what chemicals were used, but we didn't have the authority based upon the legislation that's in place, to disclose that information publicly without the proponents agreeing to it. But at this point, they were willing to agree to allow us to disclose that information that we did have in terms of the test on those proprietary chemicals.
Okay. That is an admirable step. Your department is also, and your government has also taken the step of putting a ban on importing frack wastewater, potentially from New Brunswick, is the immediate, I guess, the closest threat. Does the outcome of these tests, do you see that having an effect on the relationship with frack waste from New Brunswick? I mean, AIS, the waste treatment facility, is arguably the only facility in the Maritimes that can even pretend to be able to handle frack wastewater.
Yeah, I think I do see those as independent issues. I think what we're looking at here is the immediate issue of treating our waste product that was developed in our own province, and it came from activity that was authorized in the province at that time. So I do see them as distinct decisions and activities. Right now, what we're looking at is strictly approvals and the processes dealing with the water that is sitting in our province right now, and that is independent of that other legislation.
Okay. I guess there's no clear roadmap for it, but how do you begin to rebuild trust with the community in terms of the department? Potentially, there is an argument that the department should have known that, the rock landscape underneath those wells, when you drill into it, there is a uranium ban in the province for a reason. Is that the core, or, the crust that you're digging into is potentially radioactive? Finding out, putting it down the drain, arguably in Windsor, and then finding out about that through sort of a, needing to discover it, even though an access to information was filed and that was basically left out. Where do you now, heading this department, how do you see that, how do you see repairing that relationship with the public going?
Well, I think you nailed it at the beginning. There is no roadmap. Often you see people, reach out to the public and say, trust me, or trust us, or trust the department, or trust the government. I think if you go back to the steps that I have taken, there is no magic blueprint. There is no solution to doing it. All we can do is try to earn the trust. And from my perspective is to keep an open mind and look for opportunities, look for those challenges that we've had, those steps that eroded the trust in the communities, and try to address them going forward. I can't go back and change anything that's been done in the past. All can do is start with today. And really, I started that back in December, which is when the initial discussions with the AIS, they came forward with a proposal for a secondary treatment, which was the reverse osmosis treatment. And I announced publicly, reached out to some key stakeholders in the communities, both Tinakook and in the DeBert area, to let them know that a proposal has come forward and let the public know that, you know, once we had the test results, we would be going back to the communities. We did just get the final test results late January, which, you know, as soon as we had a chance to review those results, we had those meetings scheduled so I could take them to the community. Unfortunately, the Kennecook meeting was canceled. I believe they're in the process of rescheduling. I don't know if they finalized that date yet, but as soon as they do, they'll be reaching out to the community to let them know as well. So it's just reaching out, bringing the information we have, being as transparent as we can be with the information we have, and having a dialogue. And I think it's an important thing is not to, I guess rather than saying it in the negative, saying it in the positive, is to have an open mind to for me in particular, to listen to what the public has to say. And do my best to address their concerns and challenges. And you know, again, no magic roadmap. It's not like I can study this in school and say, how do I rebuild trust? It's just a process. And it's, I think, again, being open, transparent, and keeping those lines of communication open.
Gotcha. Now, where do municipalities fit into this? There is a, you know, Colchester County Municipal Meeting coming up on the 26th. If the Department of Environment's given it its green light to say this is safe, this has come back, perhaps the only issue is, in layperson's terms, the salt, how do you potentially avoid the notion of shopping this around, this issue, this water, to municipalities that may well be cash strapped, so that what we see in Windsor when it does go down the drain, and the pressures potentially being exerted upon town council or county council in Colchester, how do we do this properly?
Well, I think the first thing is to recognize that the Nova Scotia environment is not in the process of developing the solution or moving the solution forward in terms of disposal. We're a regulatory body, so what our responsibility is to regulate and ensure that and set the standards in terms of and the oversight for testing to ensure that the output meets our guidelines and our standards to avoid and minimize any effect to the natural environment and health. So, you know, as far as, you know, if there's a proposal brought forward to go through a municipal system, whether it's in Colchester or somewhere else, that would be something where the company would approach the organization to or the municipality to look at a solution, and then they would bring that back to us if they're having those discussions, then to where we would then assess and verify that you know what they're proposing to do is, again, safe, a safe process. But it would be up to the municipality to assess if that is a process that they want to engage in or not.
Maybe you can just talk about the Lafarge cement plant, because that seems to be a proposal on the table that circumvents dealing with it at all on a municipal sewer level.
Well, and that goes back to my point, right? Whatever the disposal process proposed that they would come forward with would be assessed, you know, and what the water standards are going in, and anything coming out of whatever the proposed process is, so whether it's municipal waste or the Lafarge proposal, and depending on what the proposals may be, then we look at them on that context and say, okay, what potential effects would there be based upon the status of the water today? So, for example,
just to take it back to the Kennecook Ponds, that water has been sitting there for years now. I'm going to go ahead and assume that there has been no atmospheric testing done around the ponds to see what has evaporated. Whatever might have evaporated in terms of proprietary chemicals, norms with half-lives, etc., probably has already happened by now. Is that going to be an issue, like in terms of AIS saying they have the gold standard for treating fracked water? Potentially, they have that standard for treating fracked water that is 6 to 7 years old. But are you in the position to be setting up a an atmospheric or evaporation type monitor where you're watching to see if stuff, if proprietary chemicals are being released into the air? Is that a concern of the department?
I think what you're looking at there is, if I catch the drift, is, if there was additional fracking at some point in the future and so on, what would, if they're trying to set up as a gold standard to be able to treat other, that kind of goes back to the question you asked earlier about, what effect or impact this would have on the legislation about the ban of importation of fracking wastewater, and it's really independent. This,
Sure.
what we're looking at here is strictly the treatment of this water, and these, the approvals and authorizations that would be going along with it, is strictly for this water. We're looking at a situation where we have water that's sitting in ponds in Kennecook and in DeBert that, the public doesn't want there. We don't want there, but at the same time, nobody wants it to be released in a manner that could cause adverse effects to the environment or human health. And that's why we're taking a bit of a precautionary approach after a couple of false starts in the past to make sure that we get it right. But again, it's in the context of just what's there today. Anything else would be speculation in terms of what comes down the road in the future. And we'll review and assess anything that, in terms of applications or anything at that time. But there is the moratorium currently on fracking in the province, and there's a ban on importation of fracking wastewater. So there's really, at present, nothing on the horizon that we would need to be looking to deal with that anyway.
Gotcha. I think that's it for me, and I do appreciate your time today. It's been very informative, and
Not a problem.
I know you're busy, and it's much appreciated.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for your interest.
We'll talk soon. Take care.
Take care.